Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
In my younger days, we used to debate the question, which is better, anticipation or realization? It was a stupid question, I suppose, and debating it was useless, but we did it anyway. Well, let me talk about anticipation a little. Anticipation holds the future in view, always exciting for its uncertainty. Realization takes off the edge of excitement. The look is either now or then, backwards, I mean. Of course, the subject lends to the idea of experience. Which is better, anticipation or realization? The Apostle Paul examines how hope functions in Romans 8:20-25. Here is what he said. I quote, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Amen. Anticipation, then, is the essence of hope. When realization comes, hope is no longer needed. I have been speaking from 1 Corinthians 15 the last number of weeks, where Paul has led us through the philosophical maze to faith in the resurrection of Christ. He led us through that maze, and then to the resurrection of all human beings, they that are Christ that is coming, and the rest at the end. From 1 Corinthians 15:50, we learn that the present order of flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The two are incompatible, that is, flesh and blood and the kingdom of God are incompatible. To inherit the kingdom of God, a radical change must take place. I've called it the climax. All leads up to that great event, the climax of human history. I've called my message, Rejoicing in the Climax. So open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15, 51-58 for my message. Now here is the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 15, 51-58. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now follow me as I bring to you the powerful incentives Paul uses to call us to rejoice in the climax. The first incentive is the mystery revealed. A mystery in the Bible is not mysterious in the sense of odd or without explanation. Webster's Dictionary of Synonyms, however, defines mystery like this, I quote, "Mystery, often, especially in theological use, implies the thing's incapacity for comprehension by human reason. The term is applied specifically to any one of the doctrines of Christianity, such as the Trinity, the Incarnation, or the Resurrection, which have this character, meaning the character going beyond human reason. They cannot be totally explained by reason alone. In revealing the mystery, Paul is not using human reason, but divine revelation. And there's a great deal of difference there, friend. The difference between human reason and divine revelation. A change must take place by the act of God. Corruption cannot become incorruption automatically. Mortality cannot put on immortality without divine intervention." That is very clear. It will come to pass, not in a long process, but in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know, it is interesting because the Apostle Paul uses for the word moment the Greek word atomo, which is where we get our word atom. An atom, according to the dictionary, is the smallest particle which is indivisible. He says in an atom, in the twinkling of an eye, an indivisible measurement of time, no forewarning, at the last trumpet. So you see, my friend, that first incentive is the mystery revealed. The second incentive is the victory regained. Now notice, so when. Those two words are very important in our text. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, the event is coming. The change from mortality to immortality will strip death of a stranglehold on believers. Paul stressed it. We shall all be changed. Death fastened its fangs on the human race when Eve and Adam sinned in the garden. God told them, when they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die. And he made no exception for that. Paul elaborates on the results of that first sin and the result of death. Victory, however, is assured. I am saying victory is regained. Because as we go on in our text now, we see that the word of God comes true. Victory swallows death. Only for true believers, of course, Christians. The wicked will experience the second death, eternal death, but the righteous will be delivered from death. Death will no longer have dominion over them. Oh, the difference is remarkable. The wicked will experience the second death, never any release from it. Paul leads us further to understand that victory is through Jesus Christ. I'm quoting verse 57 now. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He is alive. The resurrection is the bedrock of victory. So the second incentive is the victory regained. Glory in it, my friend. The third incentive is the reward realized. That 58th verse is full of great truth. Stay with me. He says, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast. The world seems to be full of compromisers. Yes, years ago I was in conversation with a friend of mine. We were talking about conditions in the world, and he made this statement. What do you think of it? He said, love is more important than truth. Do you think that is correct? I don't. After all, love is not love if it is not true love. And there is much of that today. Truth has been sacrificed on the cross of tolerance. You get that everywhere, it seems. Paul called for security, The word steadfast carries the thought of being established. It is a synonym of the next word, unmovable. The word steadfast carries with it the idea of a seat. Sit down. Don't be moved about. Not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Some people are weathercock Christians. They go the way the wind blows. That's not what Paul was talking about. He said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, and then, abounding in the work of the Lord, pressing on. Christ has only our hands. He has only our feet, only our words. He has given us his word that we might go with it around the world. And I must remind you again, the human family is the only one of the species of Earth's population that communicates with words, as far as we know. He said, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The Lord left it up to us. He said to the disciples, as you go, make disciples of all nations. That is what we have inherited. It has come down to us. And then it is proper for us to expect a reward. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, the apostle said. It is proper for us to look forward to the reward. The apostle Paul said he was looking forward to a crown of righteousness that the Lord was going to give to him. Not to him only, but to everyone who looked for his appearing. I am looking for his appearing. I believe, therefore, that the Lord has a crown of righteousness for me. Praise God. Friend, labor on. God is not unmindful. He will reward you if you are faithful in serving him as you ought to be. Praise God. So, friend, I urge you to keep going. The reward is realized. Amen. And therefore, together we can be rejoicing in the climax because the mystery is revealed. The victory is regained. The reward is realized. Amen. Praise God. Join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in this wonderful truth that the Apostle Paul has brought to us, revealed to us, that the mystery is now open, and that the victory over death has been regained, and Father, that the reward is secure to be realized. So Lord, help my friend and me to take a new look at life, and to work diligently, to be unmoved, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, Father, if my friend is not a believer, then bring that truth home to that person now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My friend, the subject of today's program is so very important. Perhaps you have questions about what you heard. If you do, write to us. We'll gladly respond to your questions using God's Word as the basis for our answers. Here's how you can contact us. You can write to us at Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send us your letter by email. We do look forward to hearing from you. Once again, our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. Write with your questions about the Bible or living a life that pleases God. I invite you to join me next week. We'll be back with another message from 1 Corinthians, Counsels for Local Congregations. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.